Wise Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Wise Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 23rd, 2014. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, or a message. My phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, you can call my cell phone number, which is 316-619-4886. Folks, you can always find the updates with breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at a blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And he's now for a prayer, and we'll be getting our guests. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. But please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. Well, tonight's guest is Mark Davis, M.D. He's the author of Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. Mark is the president of Davis Book Reviews and Health Net's Review Services. Mark Davis has an intricate knowledge of every aspect of the healthcare system. His knowledge of medical system is derived from managing numerous health facilities and interacting with every strata that affects health decisions. As a federal health lobbyist, he has come to understand a bureaucracy that is now swallowing up the entire medical industry. Dr. Davis has written hundreds of articles on health politics, healthcare, and related issues. His book, Demons of Democracy, is one of the most hated books by lawyers because it reveals their very negative effect on a country. Well, that's the one I'll have to read. Dr. Davis' Millennium Diet is a cutting-edge book on shedding pounds quickly and safely. Residing near the nation's capital, he has influenced his writings greatly. As a media consultant, he has heard frequently on numerous programs from around the country. HealthNet's Review Services inception came about when President Mark Davis noted a lack of affordable services for new and experienced authors in the areas of proofreading, copy, editing, critiquing, and rewriting of journals, articles, and books in the sciences and related fields. HealthNet is solely in business to enable authors to bring the best product to market in a cost-efficient manner. Mark is the president of HealthNet, and he has written three books, which I have now mentioned. Anyway, the title of this book is what really drew me in. Well, I really didn't know nothing about it, but the book seems self-explanatory, Obamacare Dead on Arrival. Let's welcome Mark and see what he has to say about it. So you're there with us, Mark.
Yes, thank you for that wonderful introduction. That was thorough and right to the point. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Arrival was a difficult work that we put into process, and we appreciate you having us on tonight.
Well, absolutely. When did this book actually come out, anyway? Was it pre-Obamacare?
It's been out for about 3 months now. It's been out about 3 months, and the left hates it. The people that care for Obamacare don't care for this book very much. And I've done numerous radio shows, and the left, well, the progressives are really attacked it because they don't like to hear the facts. They just want to believe the reality that they've been told by the government, which is not a reality at all. The reality is what we're seeing happen, the bad exchanges that have been put into place, and now the implementation phase two of the regulatory structure to control all medical care in the country. and that's going very bad right now, and I'll get to it if you'd like.
Okay, well, let's just take it a step at a time, whichever way you want to do it. First off, what led you personally, what struck you personally to write the book?
Well, first, the media wasn't covering it properly. They were describing the shoreline, not the tidal wave coming, and no entity, no bureaucracy in the world could control the medical care of almost 320 million people. My book specifically aims at phase two, which is the implementation, the regulatory structure for this. I have a vast background because I've been able to manage and or own healthcare facilities, and when the government intervention came, the quality of care went the other way, very bad. So I started writing the book, and what I've seen for what the government could do, they cannot manage, they can't even manage the exchanges, let alone try to manage the regulatory structure. Just within 3.5 years, they had to put the exchanges into place, and October 1st, they came, 2013. Look at the mess they're in. Now, think I'm trying to regulate all the medical care for people. That'll take 30 years if possible. My idea is it's going to implode under its own weight in the next year or two, having read the bill, and which became law. I read it prior to becoming law. And now what I see coming down the pike is a very disadvantageous for all of us.
All right. Well, first off, you just said something. You read the bill. That's more than
yes.
Most Congresses did have.
Yes.
I don't even think they read it still, have they?
No. I read it while it was still bill number 3590, which was in the Library of Congress, and I read that. It was online. And what an atrocious piece of garbage it was. And trying to say there are more sanctions and penalties in it than there are health care initiatives. It looks to hurt insurance companies. They demonized hospitals, doctors, everything they could in order to get control of our health care. Basically, they want control of the money. The money would be approximately one-sixth of the economy if they get full control of that. And that was what the aim was initially, not to improve health care, not to give more access, not to lower prices. It was a big lie, and it continues to be a lie. The algorithm, the formula for which Obamacare is based, is flawed in a number of ways, and we could discuss that as you go through this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess we can start at the beginning. You know, the first thing, I guess, is the online exchanges. It seems a little ridiculous that they've had all this time to do it and spent all this money on it, that they couldn't have come up with a viable product in the private sector that could have been done at a much lower cost and within months. What's the deal?
Yes, very much so. Well, Obamacare was passed March 23rd. 2010. 6 days later, they passed an accessory bill to that as well. So they were looking at March of 2010 and implementation of the exchanges 2013 October. They had over 3.5 years to put it in place, and they couldn't do it. What they did was they dumped thousands of pages of legislation onto Catherine Sebelius, the Health and Human Secretary. She has no background in IT experience, computer generated software and anything to that, and she had to make do with what she could. The people that put it in place complained that the government was telling them to change this, change that, and they can never get it right because the government was never satisfied with what they had. So they introduced a product that wasn't ready for market, or as they used to say, not ready for prime time, and you know the results. Everybody knows the results right now. Now, there's 16, to my knowledge, 16 state exchanges, and one federal exchange, the one here in Maryland, and again, I'm not a native Marylander, I'm from New York, but they spent over $100 million of it, and it's pretty much failed so far. The head of that exchange has failed. The assistant governor here also took a fall for it because it's so poorly set up. So people have to ask themselves, you're putting this money in. What are you exchanging your money for? Are you going to get a better insurance policy from the exchange? And the answer right now as we sit here, no. You're not going to get better health care. You're not going to get better access. You're not going to get better diagnostics, pharmaceuticals, and so forth. So you're exchanging your money. You're paying more money for a product you were paying less prior to Obamacare's incipient in March of 2010. So that's one thing people need to take with them. You're not getting what the propaganda is coming from the government, basically.
Well, right. They're not even telling. They said that they can't actually even tell, or they. Well, let's go with this. They won't tell Congress how many people are actually in the system, and in fact, they're just guessing. I guess on how much money to charge everybody.
Right at this point in time, as of January 9th, they claim the government, 3 million people have signed up. What they didn't tell you is a lot of those people were kicked off medical assistance and put on the exchanges, so they're still getting subsidies, whether they were getting a freebie from medical assistance or from the government in terms of the exchange, whatever exchange insurance that they're getting. So those people are not all paid people. Maybe half are, maybe we don't know. As you said, we don't know how many people are paying into the system. The other thing is the algorithm, the formula for this requires that a lot of young people sign up, and they're just not signing up in droves as the government was hoping. Because if they don't sign up, they can't. The people on the latter end, the people in the geriatric age group where I'm getting to, will not be paid for down the road. So what you have basically is a Ponzi scheme, worse than Madoff, 10 times worse. If people remember the Madoff Ponzi scheme in New York, this is 10 times as worse. And it's going to implode because the money is not there to fund it, and you can only tax people so much until they protest or just overwhelm the system. And so it doesn't work. I heard Ezekiel Emanuel, one of the architects of this disaster, discuss on a radio show how they need all these people to buy into the system. But he was also mentioning that they want to take physicians and make them second-line providers and make nurse practitioners and other people, first-line nurses, first-line providers for health care. These people are the intricate part of the health system, but they're not trained as first-line providers. So that's how they would reduce the cost of care. Doctors will be first in line. The nurse practitioner or the healthcare assistant, they would be. They also want a short-track medical education for nurses and doctors. That's in the bill as well, which is now law, of course. And so you're going to see a dilution of medical care at the least in the next few years. People that should not be going to medical school because they just don't have the wherewithal to do it, it's a long haul, and it takes a certain level of intellect to go in there. And I'm going to say I'm better or worse than anybody else. It's not me. But it is what it is. The American Academy of Medical School Deans years ago said we're not getting the best and brightest out of the medical schools anymore because of the burdens that medical schools bring to people, the cost, the years of their lives and things like that. And when you go into that emergency room or that OR or whatever, you want the best person for that job. And you're not going to get that out of Obamacare.
Absolutely.
That's basically, no, and it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, you're just not going to get it unless you can fly off to Europe. And most of the Europeans are coming here for health care. So I don't think they're going to be coming here in droves as they have in the past.
Right. Okay, let's go with this. First off, I want to mention a couple of things about the nurse practitioners. Now, I have my own doctor, but recently, while I went to the doctor's office or whatever, they tried to even get me, and I'm not on Obamacare, they tried to get me to talk with a nurse practitioner. And, you know, I just absolutely refused. I said, no, I don't need to talk to the nurse practitioner. I had other things to take care of. But get to talking to them there at the office. That is indeed what they're doing. They're setting it up. That's their first line. You hit the nurse practitioners, and then, you know, if they can't cure it, I guess they'll pass you off to the doctor. But that's disaster. Then on what you said, it does take a real certain kind of person to become a doctor because that's a lot of sacrifice. All those years and many hours that they have to put in, let alone money. You know, I'm hearing that a lot of doctors are pulling out and just retiring because of this. What's up?
Yes, very much so. Doctors are going on to other fields. They're cutting back their practices. They're not making sufficient funds to pay their bills, so they're looking for other areas to earn money, administrative, whatever. I sidestep medicine myself. Because under Obamacare, it's just a horrific situation to have that kind of burden of being sanctioned or punished for bizarre things that the medical boards could come up with and or the Obamacare boards. And you don't want any part of that kind of thing. I think 33 years in one field was enough for me. I have my MDs. I have my other degrees and my doctorates. And I review books for physicians. I just got a request today as an example. So we have to look and analyze what we're getting with Obamacare, where Obamacare will be taking people, what will the end results be when people go to that doctor and try to get health care? Will they get health care at all? Are there death panels and things like that? Those questions we can answer tonight for sure.
Okay, well, absolutely. Well, let's just jump on over to death panels. We've heard that so much. Are there death panels? Are they going to rat the government going to be the ones to ration care, or will it be up to the doctor?
It was very clever of the government. In 2009, there was some wording in the bill, the 3590 bill, which is that the government gives a potential war number, and this one was 3590 as an example. And in that bill, there was ways of ending people's lives. When Sarah Palin and other people, politically active people, jumped on this immediately, it disappeared from that bill. So it's not there. But what they did do was come up with studies showing that we don't need to do orthopedics as much in the elderly, or treat hypertension in people over 60 as intensive as before, or cholesterol levels need to be checked as much as they used to do. They came up with false studies to reduce the levels of care people in the late 50s and up would get. And that in itself, reducing care can accelerate people's demise. Now, if you're 75 years old, and actually some of the hosts I've talked to recently are getting up to date, they actually have been told by the physicians, well, you don't need all these tests. You don't need these things. And I was listening acutely because that's what I came up with in the research for the book. They're going to use a concept which is not written into the book, it's written in the book, but not in the policy itself or the insurance policy and or Obamacare, a concept called biological value. What is biological value? It is the amount you contribute as you get older. As we get older, they claim, we know this is false, but they claim we give less into society, so why should you get a maximum amount of health care when you're contributing less? So you're 75 years old, potentially the table says you have 3 years left in your lifespan. Why should you be given expensive drugs, diagnostics, surgeries, those kind of things? That is all crazy, but that is what the aim is of the end-of-life type of training that physicians will be getting in the future to deal with patients in their 70s and above.
Wait a second, hold it. That's saying that people are useless, or, you know, and I'm not trying to make any kind of comparison to Hitler, but that's, Hitler said people were useless eaters and therefore, you know, not viable to keep, or yes, ended up killing them. Not saying that they're going to kill everybody, but that's a very bad concept.
Yeah, it's a benign form of eugenics, trying to get rid of a population that basically doesn't provide much into society. We're taking money out for Social Security. We're taking money out for Medicare. We're taking money out for reduced taxation or whatever. Our homes are all paid up, so we're not paying in as much to society. So here you are, have a benign form of eugenics built into Obamacare, and people are not seeing that. If you saw the cover of the book, it shows headstones in a cemetery claiming victims of Obamacare. This is happening now. As of January 1st, the regulatory structure for Obamacare has come online, and people have to understand you're not going to get the care. There's a blaring example that just came up, both blaring and glaring, at Sloan Kettering. Sloan Kettering is a cancer hospital. A woman had rapidly progressive breast cancer, and they found in checking that her doctors were not part of the group, wouldn't be reimbursed, so the doctors are not there that she wanted, so the surgery had to be delayed. That's just one in a number of instances that we've seen early on in January when this stuff came online. So you're not going to get what you're supposed to get. You're not going to get all the care you were promised, and your prices are going to go through the roof. Like we already know that.
Sorry. I forgot to turn my cell phone down, folks. Anyway, that happens. Then we're on live radio. Things like that happen. Anyway, going off of that, that kind of lost my attention for a moment.
It's okay.
Anyway, Let's go with that. What I'd like to know, with the care pulling down. I mean, the overall care. They said they're going to put more and more people on the system, so that in itself looks like it'll crash the system. Let's go with this. I wrote a note right here. Youth, the people, the young people, was just part of the law, were supposed to stay on their family's insurance longer. Well, if they're staying on their family's insurance longer, how are they supposed to, I mean, if they're supposed to pay into the system and get their own, isn't that a conundrum? I mean,
it's not only a conundrum, it's a contradiction in terms. Obama, President Obama, not to be disrespectful, went around to college campuses in the last few months encouraging these basically children to sign up for Obamacare or encouraging their friends to sign up for Obamacare. And the contradiction is where you're allowed to stay on mommy and daddy's policy till you're 26. So why is he going to the colleges encouraging them to sign up? Because these young people and people older than college age are not signing up in droves, and the algorithm, the formula for which Obamacare is based, depends on droves, millions of young people signing up, just like it happened with RomneyCare. They didn't go sign up there willingly either. So we have a system that's going to implode under its own weight. The money is not there to implement this gargantuan nightmare fully as what they want to do. And, you know, frankly, physicians, if they wanted to, if they had the, may I use the word on the air? I don't know if I'm allowed to use this word.
Go ahead.
Cojones. to act, they could stop this in its tracks in a minute, but they won't do it. For various reasons, which would take probably three shows to go through, how physicians are treated out here. Basically, medical boards could come behind them and revoke their licenses for diddly, which they do now. It's pretty horrible, especially in blue states. That's a whole show in and of itself. But anyway, physicians are afraid to publicly react to this. Maybe a few will get up on the TV and dance around about a few things, but otherwise, you don't see them up there in droves complaining about Obamacare. They're just worried about making a living and feeding their families, which is important,
right,
for us.
Let me break in. We're going to go to – we have about a minute before break. Tell us, the folks, where they can find your website and the book, I imagine, is on Amazon. But give some contact info, brother.
Yeah. My email is platomd@gmail.com. That's platomd@gmail.com. The book is Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. It's on basically all electronic devices. You can get it on the Kindle, the Nook, Google Chrome. You can get it from Barnes & Noble's, any of the major stores. They don't have it in the stock. You can get it. It's on their online sites as well. If you go to Amazon, please put your opinion up there. It's very important that you share your thoughts, good or bad, about the book and/or Obamacare. There's an area there to do that, and it's important. I can be reached pretty easily from the website, and I really appreciate this interview, by the way, sir.
All right, well, we'll be right back. And, folks, wherever you listen to this in our radio archives or you go to our website, then you can find the link to his website. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com
Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. To order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all over the city that used to be homeless or people that are just barely keeping roofs over their head because of this economy. So many people have been cut back to part-time work, and it is because of our topic tonight, Obamacare. We'll get the guest tonight to address that. But pray about it. We really do need your support with the Mission Church because, as you folks know, we don't sell anything, and so we rely on you and your kind donations to help us out. You can call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to find out how to donate, or you can donate online or mail a check. Go to prophecyhour.com, which is really a hub for Mission Watch and all of our various missions and different radio programs. So go to prophecyhour.com, or if you're one of the 15% who doesn't use the internet, you're listening on radio, just call me at 620-878-4682. And now we are back talking about Obamacare, debt on arrival, a prescription for disaster with Dr. Mark Davis. Are you back there with me, Mark?
Yes, sir, I'm right here. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And, you know, you kind of touched on something just before before we made the break, and I don't know if you even caught what you said, but you mentioned about physicians not talking because of, you know, they're worried about their families and things. But, you know, also seems like there's almost like a hit list for this administration to go after anybody that stands up and talks against them. Any thoughts on that?
Of course, yes. There's a huge hit list. We saw that with the political PACs, the conservative political PACs that the IRS went after them. Well, the IRS is a huge hammer in Obamacare, and doctors should be afraid of it because they'll just audit you to harass you. They'll just pick out very busy doctors and start auditing them. We all know what happened to certain hosts of national shows, especially one who was situated in New York, was on 600 stations, Rush Limbaugh. He was audited every year in New York State because he spoke out. He was conservative in a mostly blue state. So the IRS will be hammering physicians. If they won't, Medicare will pull their licenses. Medical assistants won't allow them to collect funds. There's many, many ways the government has, through the Obamacare legislation, to stick it to doctors, basically. And that's what's going to happen. But it could also stick it to the individuals, too, by penalizing people and the audits again, liens, whatever manifestation of government hand to get in there to hurt somebody if they don't agree with the agenda that the Obama administration has put forward. And it's a bad agenda. It's bad for people. It's bad for a lot of people who are socioeconomically depressed, as where I came from. I was a poor kid. I was happy to have help every now and then. But this is not help. This is a detriment to society because the care that people are exchanging their money for will not be the appropriate care, the proper care, what people really need. There'll be several dilution factors in there. And at the end of the day, you take it or you will be knocked down in some way, somehow, that we can't even foresee right now.
Well, you said that you felt that, and I feel it'll implode on itself too. There's a twofold question with that. I believe it'll implode. Question is, when will we prop it up and everything until which we need it to implode before the 2014 elections? And if it does implode, did they want it to do that all along so that they could bring in a single payer system?
Yes, it will not implode before 2014. The government has been pouring billions of dollars. Billions, probably tens of billions, everywhere it can to keep it propped up. It's giving insurance companies money. People who cannot get on the exchange, who did try, are getting retroactive money to help them buy insurance in the traditional areas. Money is being spread all around right now, so it will not implode. It's artificially being propped up. Will it ever go away? Yeah, yes, it will implode, but well after 2014. The other question was, yes, the reason to put this in, government designed it to fail. Why? They want a one-payer system. They want the government bureaucracy to pay all health care bills. We channel the money to the government, and the government would be paying the bills at their leisure. They'll decide what to pay, what not to pay. The insurance companies will be used as the administrators of the money. They won't be giving out traditional policies under Obamacare at the end and end point. So they definitely want the insurance industry to take a hit or take a fall, as we could see, because they want a one-payer system. And Harry Reid essentially said that, so did Nancy Pelosi several years ago, and Harry Reid said it more recently again. We do want a one-payer system. What we didn't get with Obamacare was a public insurance policy, some type of publicly funded health care program. We didn't get that. They go through the back door, try to destroy the entire system, but there's no public option out there, an insurance policy at reduced cost that the government and the private sector will be paying for. The thing we very needed badly, we don't have with Obamacare. So it's a tragedy for sure.
Well, my wonder is from what I've heard about it, that, you know, the insurance companies, from what I heard, were along with it, and so was the pharmaceuticals. They wanted to, but yet it looks like it's going to destroy them. Were they just so duped?
They were duped, but also they're being propped up now with a lot of money. So why the money's flowing to them and the gravy's coming, They will be cheerleaders for this nightmare. So AARP was initially against it until Obama, through one of his edicts and twists in the law, gave them lots of money. How did they give them money? The Medigap insurances, these overlying insurances where Medicare falls down and doesn't pay for something.
Right.
You buy a Medigap or some similar policy. Well, AARP sells those policies, so a lot of the money is going to be flowing to them from the government. So wherever the money is going to be, those people are going to be smiling. When the money stops, they won't be smiling anymore. And that's just a matter of time that's going to happen, because the funds are not there to bring this nightmare into full fruition, as we're seeing now with the exchanges. So people have to ask themselves, I'm paying good money, hard-earned money. What am I getting for my money? And I will tell you this, you're not getting what you were told you would be getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, if it wasn't the nightmare that it's going to turn into, why has he put off so many things till just after the next election? And I don't understand why Americans aren't, you know, I thought we used to be smarter than that. You know, I don't get how we have fell for this whole thing, hook, line, and sinker.
I'll tell you what. I'm writing an article now for the media called Second-Rate America, and I don't mean to knock any person or individual, but that's exactly what's happening. From the space program where when we put up a $100 billion space station, we have to hitch a ride with the Russians, and they're forcing us to speak Russian yet. All the people in NASA, the smart people, they're being dissipated because they'd be losing their jobs. The school systems, they're forcing down their throats, Common Core curriculum. They've taken religion out of schooling. They've done a number of things to take away the analytics for people to understand what the reality is out there, not what the government's feeding them. So if people can't analyze, that's one problem. The other thing is, we're dishing money through the entitlement structure throughout the country, and while the money is coming in, they're going to be voting for the progressives, and that's a wrong thing too. You know the old saying, if whoever feeds the hungry belly gets the vote. Well, that's exactly what's happening here, and we know it. And if you come to Maryland, one third of a $38 billion budget goes to health care. We only have 5.8 million people in this state. It's unbelievable how much money is being shuffled around. The budget should be more closer to $20 billion for various things, but that's money being distributed to the wrong people, by the way.
Yeah, it's overall insane. I mean, we have more dependence on everything. It's just like I'm wanting to look. I have no problem with unemployment insurance, but you know, back when it seems like hundreds of years ago, I'm 58. But when I grew unemployment, you know, I remember getting one little extension on unemployment, and I was thankful for it. But I didn't go to. I was getting ready to go to work before I got that extension. They gave me the extension, and then I stayed off work. And so, yeah, sure, I was happy to get it. And a lot of Americans are that way. I'm not trying to down anybody, but a lot of them just don't start looking for work until that unemployment insurance runs out. Same way with, but then we're adding people to food stamps and now medical. Something that came up I noticed last night, they were talking about how if you, and folks, you need to hear this, if you get on Medicaid, and you die, and you have a house, your house is going to go pay for Medicaid. It's not going to go to your son or your daughter. It's going to be tied up for your medical expenses. Does Obamacare overall have a provision to go against people's inheritance other than Medicaid?
Well, the government already has those laws on the books that parallel Obamacare, so that will happen. The deal with the Medicaid is, though, you can get around that law if you're forward-looking and you transfer your assets 2 to 3 years before, depending on the state where you live, you can get around that medical assistance clause and keep your house. But otherwise, yes, you could lose your house very much. They will charge you and take your house from you. They will, at the minimum, they would put a lien on your house if there's another spouse living in there. So there are legal ways and methodologies to save your house, and you need to explore those from which the state you're in. And here in Maryland, as an example, I think it's 3 years if you transfer your property to somebody else with a potential nursing home down the road you need or significant health care. So you need to contact the lawyer who knows what they're talking about.
Well, I brought that up for the main reason that I want people need to be aware of it. A lot of people aren't aware of it, and they need to be aware of that fact before they get on Medicaid and, you know, make that decision. You think that, going back to that, so we decided that it was indeed destined to fail, but do you think that if it fails and crashes so badly, do you think that we will allow this government to, you know, actually then implement, take over all the insurance? You know, that even seems...
That is the aim. That's the definite aim. That's why Nancy Pelosi will see what's in it when it passes. Well, I saw what was in it before it passed, and I see what's in it now. I see the, all the additions that are coming down the road. And that's what the aim is, to control all health care and the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies. This is socialism to its worst point. It has never worked anywhere in the world, and it won't work here. We have too many people. Can I give the audience an example of what we're up against? We have 900,000 physicians in this country. We have 5,800 registered hospitals and dozens that are not. We have freestanding clinics by the thousands, doctor's offices by the tens of thousands. There are almost 3 million nurses. There are over 1 million EMTs and related auxiliary people. And there's so much more peripheral people that work in the healthcare field. This is what Obamacare tends to try to control. It's an impossible task, and it hasn't worked anywhere. I can't think of one system where socialized medicine fully has worked, where there hasn't been huge numbers of casualties. National health system in Britain, as an example. Very bad. A few celebrities get up and say how wonderful it is over there. But when you talk to the people, you read the literature, you get a very different picture on what's going on in the National Health Service. And if Obamacare was modeled even near that, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It amazes me how they get all that. All the celebrities are, you know, up there rooting for Hollywood and everything, and they all go to the White House and party like they did for Mrs. Obama. But, you know, there's some folks, these celebrities that you love so much are selling you down the road. You think they're using this insurance? Now, it's still like that. Now, let me get this straight. If you have the money, you can still buy whatever highfalutin insurance you want, right? Wrong.
Correct. The traditional policies that are out there, they're called Cadillac plans, but you will pay a huge premium or a huge tax, premium tax on those policies. The idea was to equalize access to health insurance for everybody. Everybody would get something similar. But even Obamacare stops that because there's a bronze plan, a silver plan, a Cadillac plan, and so forth out there. So it doesn't do what it says. The wealthy out in the West Coast and other places think they're out of this plan. They're not. They may be out of it financially, but if they use the healthcare system in this country, there's only one system, and we all have to use the same system. Now, they maybe fly off to Paris or Guam or something to get some special healthcare. Otherwise, they're not going to get it. I mean, Obamacare doesn't provide for multiple kidney transplants and heart transplants and all that stuff, which they imagined at the beginning it would. They would give unlimited care to everybody. At the end of the day, they don't do that. And the wealthy think they're out of it. They're not. They're fooling themselves.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think it's this government's, this administration's attempt just to bring in socialism, period, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I believe truly that they're trying to weave the fabric of socialism throughout the country in any number of ways. And you see that coming up. I'm not anti-union in the sense, but the politicians curry favor with the unions. They're getting special deals, so they got a special. So if one group is getting a special deal, another group is getting a special deal. The bulk of the population is not getting any special deals. This is socialism. When you curry favor to certain groups and not other people, and you can define this word any way you want, but at the end of the day, we're being controlled. There may be a tad of eugenics involved with this. Less care will go to certain groups, more care to other groups and stuff. And you see what's happening around you.
Yeah, it's a complete disaster. Well, we still got about 5 minutes left in the program. So, you know, what examples do you want to bring to the people? Do you have some examples of some of the disaster?
Yeah, I talked about the lady with the the breast cancer, whose doctors were not insured, they found out under the plan. You'll find out that many of your physicians will not be covered. You'll be ready for procedures that you will not be getting. You'll be waiting for your CAT scans and MRIs as more people pour into the system for longer and longer times. In Canada, as an example, it's 12 to 20 weeks to get a CAT scan or an MRI. As of 2010, they may be upgrading. They may be allowing some private practice up there right now. Pharmaceutical drugs, you'll get generics over cutting-edge drugs. Surgeries that you need, you may not be getting them at all. Special tests such as the prostate-specific antigen for men over my age, let's say over 50s, they won't be there for you. If you need a hip replacement, good luck. That's not coming down the pike. Even Obama said it. He didn't think his grandmother needed. When did Obama become a physician to tell when people should have a surgery or not? So cataract surgeries for people 65 and above, there'd be less and less. And there are studies being generated, quasi-studies from the government, on these type of examples and more to reduce the level of care that the elderly or people getting older are getting. And so these are some of the disasters. There'll be less emergency room physicians around. There'll be less EMTs to run ambulances. The book has a number of examples where there's not enough emergency people on call to carry the loads that are coming around in the cities. One specifically egregious example for the last thing, I was on call in the emergency room one night here in Maryland years ago. A doctor's child was in a waiting pool, face down. He came upon, he tried to resuscitate the kid. They brought him in to me. We couldn't resuscitate this child. 15 minutes too late, the ambulance came. They were so busy that night. It wasn't anybody's particular fault. It's just there weren't enough emergency people to come around. And EMTs, God bless them, they do a great, great job. They just can't be everywhere at the times that they're needed.
Right,
the book is
right.
Dedicated. The book is dedicated to nurses, doctors, EMTs, and everybody that makes the system work. So
we have a great
system, and they're taking it apart. And I'm very sorry about it.
Well, everybody should get this book. I'm going to get it. I haven't had a chance, but I'm definitely going to get a copy of it, and I want to share it with others. But what I wanted to point out is, you know, see, I deal with the homeless and poor, and we give out a little bit of first aid, you know, because they can't get it other places in the city because of no medical insurance. But some of the folks that come see us have been on Medicaid for years. But now, like some of the diabetics, they're cutting back on the amount of test strips that they're going to give. They said they don't need as many test strips. They're cutting back on other diabetic supplies. They're cutting back on certain medicines to certain people that already, you know, have been on medicines, that their diseases have been controlled, and maybe their mental states have been controlled, and they're, like you said, they either cut back to either no medicine or to some generic, and I don't care what they say, a generic's not the same, it'll affect you different. And so I'm already seeing these things, and I see it up front because we work with the homeless and poor and have for 14 years.
Yeah. Well, I did that as well. I used to own and operate a series of nursing homes, and when I took somebody off the street, exactly what you're saying, I'd have the health department all over me. We took somebody off the street with, I don't own these facilities anymore, who had maggots. They were living in squalor where they were. We took them in. The state blamed the maggots on us. They put us in the newspapers. I'm not joking. People were coming with broken bones and all kinds of stuff. And they were on medical assistance. We didn't ask them for any more money. The government comes in and they start telling us how to manage the patients. They make us look like we're patient abusers or we're giving them the Cuban iris stuff. I stopped. It was enough. The people are being demonized. Doctors, you'll see when they don't agree with the government agenda, will be demonized in the press. And they won't do it to everybody. They'll pick a few out to make examples, as the IRS does, to scare the rest of everybody. That's why
by
and large, you're not protesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I believe already, you know, our medical community doesn't deserve this in the first place because, you know, brother, I do believe, I see how long it takes a doctor to go to college and, you know, the great amount of personal sacrifice that it takes to do it, and let alone the great huge amount of money that it takes to get there. And so they've made all these sacrifices and now to go through this because they wanted to help people.
Yeah, well, when you come out of medical school and have your degree and get your license after some postgraduate work, you have a target on your back. You don't know if the medical board's going to come after you, the legal structure, the judicial, Medicare. You have no idea what's coming down the pike. You have a debt of $200,000 to $300,000 unless you got some freebie from a government or your daddy. You have to pay a lot of money back for it. So
right. It's
not the field that I would recommend to many people. Unless you have a humanitarian structure, have a huge bank account, or you're just playing crazy right now.
Probably the way things are going, we all have to be a little insane. Brother, the name of the book is Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. And tell the folks what your website is.
My email, you can contact me at platomd@gmail.com. I review books, journal articles, things like that for doctors, and they're up to the Nobel. We actually did 2 Nobel Prize people not too long ago. We reviewed some work for them. I review nonfiction work. If you're writing a book or a play or something, give us a call. We're at www.healthnetreviewservices.com. Or if you forget that, it's www.healthnetreviewservices.com. Just contact PlatoMD@gmail.com, and we'll get you to the right page. So we're David's Book Reviews and HealthNet Review Services.
Well, you know, if they just, let me tell the folks, if you just Googled the book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, this would come up. Mark Davis, MD, will come up. And your website, HealthNet, comes up also. It's really easy to find. But also, brother, this is now going to go to podcast in a couple of hours from now, and our podcasts are picked up on. You know, everybody listens on cell phones and all that jazz now. You wouldn't believe how much. But anywhere, folks, that it comes up on, that you listen to this electronically, there will be a link to his website and also to his email. Well, brother, thanks for being on with me, and I'm really happy.
It was my pleasure, sir. If you need me again, please contact me. I'll be happy to come back.
All right, I'll put you in my recall list. All right, be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
You be taking care, then. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, Obamacare, Prescription for Disaster. I really can't wait to read the book. I haven't read the book. One of the publicists sent me his, you know, whatever you call it, and I checked him out, and he agreed to come on. Well, the guy's doing it for the right reasons, and we need to look, don't expect Obamacare to fall down before the next election. And we need it to fall down before the next election. And we need to elect some people in there to Congress that will do something to stop this madness. And it isn't just a madness of Obamacare. It's the cutting back of the military. It's the destroying of the military. Allowing all kinds of... how could God look at our army with any kind of pleasure? When it's not a Christian army anymore, no, we'll forget about that. It's full of homosexuals and lesbians and all sorts of things. And, you know, that's just not right. You can't ask God to bless that kind of thing. No matter what you say, there is a God, and there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him is the way to the Father. These other things are abominations to God. So we're a Christian country. We were dedicated to Christianity, or at least that's what they said with the Mayflower Compact, and Washington said, and others dedicated this country to God. But if we dedicated it to God, we're committing adultery. And God frowns on adultery, let me tell you. It's fornication. We're going, this country, look, we came together, or America came together. I signed a couple of protests about the deal with Bill Robertson, and it worked. It even shut the media up. So why is it that we can't do that for homosexual marriage? Why can't we do it for Obamacare? Why doesn't the church stand up? Wow. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really, 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 really do need your help. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, much like praying for Messiah's return. There will be no real peace till he gets back. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until an hour from now on Prophecy Hour, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.